Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Hey Amud Aleph. Gemara is continuing to discuss what we left off with yesterday on the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amud Bet, which is the suggestion that the Machloket Tanaim in our Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva is actually related to a Machloket Amoraim that we discussed over here as to whether a Sheretz or bringing a Sheretz into the Mikdash is Chayav. And we suggested that Rabbi Akiva, who believes that you have to remove a sheretz from the entire area of the Azara, would also have the opinion that bringing a sheretz in is problematic. And that's why he asks you to remove it. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, who says that you only have to remove a sheretz from the Heichal and Ben Ulam the Mizbeach, but not from the Azara, would be of the opinion that bringing in a sheretz to the Mikdash is patur, and not chayav. That was the suggestion of the Gemara, that is the machloket tanaim with regards to this discussion of machloket in the Amoraim. Then we begin on the top of Kuf Hey Amud Aleph Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi claims that this is a continuation of the previous Gemara, and Rabbi Yochanan is discarding the previous statement that this is a machloket tanaim, but rather, as Rashi says, Be'inyon ilua ikulei alma machnis sheretz chayav. Everybody agrees that if you take a sheretz into mikdash chayav. Uli'inyan lotzi hanimtza ba'azara. But the necessity to take out the sheretz from within the azara on Shabbat, b'haigra m'kamifligeh. They're arguing in the interpretation of the following pasuk, which Rabbi Yochanan is about to bring. So Rashi sees Rabbi Yochanan's statement as a continuation of the previous Gemara, rejecting the suggestion that this machloket Tanaim between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Anas is the similar to the machloket about whether bringing a sheretz into the Azara is chayav or not, but is saying that everybody agrees that you are chayav if you bring it in. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Anas are arguing about the pasuk. On the other hand, Tosafot says he doesn't understand how Rashi can ever come to this conclusion, because he says that the two issues are inexorably connected. They cannot be parsed or separated. If you believe that you are chayav to remove something from the Mikdash, then you're chayav for bringing it in. Or if you're chayav for bringing something in, then you're chayav for removing it. And that's because the pasuk actually has a hekesh between these, correlates between the two ideas. Vayishalchu min ha-machaneh. They have to be sent out of the machaneh. Lo yitamu et mishkani. So anybody who is mitameh or mishkan is somebody who has to be sent out of the mishkan. So the two are connected in such a way that you can't parse or separate them. So how could Rashi over here suggest that you have everybody agree that if someone brings in a sheretz is chayav, yet? On the other hand, they'll argue about whether you have to remove a sheretz from the mikdash. He says the two issues are inseparable, and therefore Tosafot says Rabbi Yochanan's statement is independent from the previous Gemara. But he's just coming to give us understanding as to the opinions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, not commenting on whether their machloket relates to anything else, but simply explain to us what the derivation of their positions are. And I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shnei Mikra Echad Dershu. They both learned it out from the same pasuk. That is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, which is Vayavo Agoanim Lifnima Beit Hashem. They went inside the Taher to cleanse it out, to clear it out, to purify it. Yitziu et kol haTumah asher matzu meHeichal Hashem laChatzer Beit Hashem. They took out all the Tumah that they found in the Heichal Hashem out to the Chatzer. Vayikablu haLeviim Lotzi lenachal Kidron Chutza. And Leviim were standing there in the Azara, and they took out that Tumah that was brought out by the Kohanim out to Nachal Kidron to be sent away, to be washed away with the rest of the sewage. This Tumah that we're speaking about is not Tumah like in the traditional sense, but Tumah in the sense of Avodah Zarah. This story is about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who leads a tremendous Tshuva movement. As part of the Tshuva movement, they renovate the Mikdash and they cleanse it of all the Avodah Zarah and all the improper things that have been taking place. So here you see that the Kohanim used to take it out from the inner places or inner chambers and then bring it out to the Azara, from where the Leviim would then take it out to Nachal Kidron. And here is the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Shimon Anas about the interpretation of this pasuk. Mar savar midi ishtani ba'azara b'Leviim, tuma ba'azara leka. Rabbi Shimon Anas believes that the fact that they switched from Kohanim to Leviim in the Azara shows you that the removal from the Azara is not necessary, or is not something that is obligatory. And so because of that, when they got to the Azara, the Kohanim, who are restricted from Tamei, were no longer engaged in this Tumah, and the Leviim took over from there. The Leviim took over there because there's no requirement to remove it from that area. Therefore, we search for someone who could do it behet there versus using the Kohanim or doing it Bisur. Now, they would have been okay to do a Bisur if there was no choice or in a situation where it's obligatory to remove it from there. And so too on Shabbat, the same thing, we won't be Doche Shavut on Shabbat when it comes to areas that are not obligated to remove the Tumah. And that'll be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva, Savar, Mar Savar, Deheicha, Delo, Efshar, Belevim, Afke, Kohanim. Hashud, Efshar, Belevim, Tulam, Etame, Kohanim. The other opinion, Rabbi Akiva believes that, no, there is a requirement to remove the Sheretz from the Azara completely. So why do they switch between the Kohanim and Levim? That is because there is a certain area beyond which the Levim are not allowed to go. That's from the Mizbeach to the Ulam, the Echal, all of these areas where only Kohanim were allowed to go. And so, in areas where only Kohanim could go, there we permitted them to become Tamei in order to get the Sheretz out of the Mikdash. But once they cleared those areas out, then the Levim could take over because it was no longer restricted for them to go in order to remove those items. They were not restricted to be in the Azarah to take those items out. And on the other hand, we don't want the Kohanim to come Tamei anymore. There's no reason to be Metamei Kohanim when we could have Levim do it. So it was out of necessity. On the inner areas where the Kohanim went because they're the only ones who could go in there. In the outer areas where Levim could also join them, we'd opt for the Levim over the Kohanim. But not that that has any comment or any bearing on whether the area has an obligation to remove the Sheretz. It has an obligation to remove the Sheretz. It's just a question of who is doing that removing. We won't allow the Kohanim to become Tamei anymore because they are restricted from becoming Tamei. So here where the Levim can take over, we ask them to take over. Before that point, where it was only the Kohanim had the right to go in there, there we said, okay, Kohanim can become Tamei in order to remove it. But now that we've got past that point, the Levim take it over. But it's not a comment on whether the area has an obligation to remove the Sheretz. Ben Anas, on the other hand, Rav Shimon ben Anas sees it as a question of obligation. The areas that he's obligated to take it out, the Kohanim do it. The areas we're not obligated to go out, then we ask the Levim to do it, but we're not going to allow the Kohanim to do it because it's no longer in a place that is obligatory. So while we're on this topic of who can enter into that area which is limited to Kohanim or restricted to Kohanim between the Ulam and Mizbeach, we now bring a Braita that discusses that in more in detail. What happens if we don't have Kohanim around that can go into that area?
Tan Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Kol nichnasim beheichal livnot l'takeinu lotzi et atumah. Anybody can go into the Heichal, an area that's normally restricted only to either necessary incursions by a Kohen or by the Kohen HaGadol on Yom HaKippurim. Nevertheless, in those areas, if it's done, leave no to build, l'takein or to fix it up, or to get the Tumah, to remove Tumah from those areas, then anybody can do it. Or be mitzvah, be Kohenim, or the Chatrila, one should do with the Kohen. We give precedence to the Kohenim. Im ein sham Kohenim, if there are no Kohenim there, nechnasim levim. Then we go to our second best choice, which is Levim. In Sham Levim. If there aren't Levim present, Ichnasim Yisraelim. Then we have regular individuals go in and do whatever needs to be done. V'idvide Torim in Tameim Lo. In all these instances, we're talking about someone who's Tor and not Tamei. Amar Rav Huno Rav Kahano Misaye Kahane. Rav Kahana, who himself was a Kohen, spoke up on behalf of, or gave us a memra that favors the Kohanim. The Tani, Rav Kahana, mitoch shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, now this Pasuk's found at the end of the Alochot with regards to a Kohen in Pashat Emor, and there there's a series of Sukkim describing a Kohen Balmum, and it says, Kolish, asher Balmum, mizer Aron HaKohen, any individual has within him a blemish from Aron HaKohen, lo igash takriv et tishrei Hashem. He's then disqualified from bringing the korbanot in the Mikdash. Mumbo, lechem elokav lo igash takriv. Since he has a blemish, he can't be the one who performs the korbanot. Lechem elokav mikodshei kodeshim umin hakodeshim yochel. This somewhat cryptic pasuk in Chavet talks about lechem elokav mikodshei kodeshim, that his sustenance shall come from the kodeshim of Hashem. And that from the Kodesh Yochel, he will eat. The way that Chazal understand it is that, yes, he's limited because of the fact that he's a Baal Mum. He's limited to what he can do in terms of Hakrava inside of the Mikdash. Nevertheless, but when it comes to the Kodeshim, he can't partake, he can't eat of the Kodeshim in the Mikdash. Then the next Pasuk begins. This is one that's been quoted now in our Gemara by Rav Kahana. Ach, ala parochet lo yavo, velo mizveach lo yigash kimumbo. Nevertheless, he can't go into the parochet or to the mizveach, the du avoda, because he has a mum. Because otherwise he will profane my Mikdash, and I Hashem who makes them holy. So from this pasuk, Ach el aparochet lo yavo, Rav Kahana wants to learn from this, a miut. Ach, v'rach, when they're using the Torah, a miut,
on the other hand, et vigam are considered to be a riboy. So here the word ach is a miut, comes to exclude. And what does it come to exclude? And this is how Rav Kahana explains it. How would that Kohanim Bali Mumim cannot go between the Ulam Mizbeach, lest so Trikuei Pachim, to make the pounded out metal, that is the plating that is used in the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Talmud Omar, Ach Chilek. Despite the fact that the Kohen Bali Mum is restricted from performing Bavoda, nevertheless, he's still under the regular rules with regards to entering to those areas that are beyond the Mizbeach. Achilek mitzvah b'tmimim, that the better way to do this was with people who do not have a mum, ain't sham t'mimim. If there aren't people there without a mum, then nichnasim bali mumim, the people with a blemish can enter. Mitzvah b'torim, it's better to do this with a person that is tahor, ain't sham t'orim. If there's no one's tahor to perform it, nichnasim t'mimim, then they go in to those areas t'mei. Idi v'idi, kohanim in Yisraelim, lo. In either of these instances, this is true for a kohen, not for Yisrael. So that means that if, even though we will give preference to this Kohen who doesn't have a Baal Mum, but if it results in a Kohen that has a Baal Mum, then we're okay with that. And same thing with Tara and Tuma, that we prefer the person remains Tahor. They can't, then we allow the reinforcements to take over, despite the fact that they are Tmeim. We favor it being Tahor, but if they can't, then they are Tmeim. But the most important line here of Rav Kahana is that Idvidi b'Kohanim, that both of these are said about the Kohanim, that we give precedence to a Kohen Baal Mum, a Kohen Tamei, before we ever look at a Levi or Yisrael. And so he favors the Kohanim, or tells us there is a separation, distinction for the Kohanim that gives them this elevated status, which we ignore any other mitigating factor like Baal Mum and Tuma, and give that precedence over going to someone who is the Levi or Yisrael. Now, the Gemara asks, okay, in that statement we saw, number one, that a Kohen Baal Mum can go if there's no Kohen Tamim, and a Kohen Tamei can go if there is no Kohen Tahor. But what happens if you have a competition or a question between those two? And that's what the Gemara asks here. Tamei u Balmum, Eizem Mehem Nichnas. If you have a competition between a Kohen Tamei and a Kohen Balmum, which one of them should go in? Which one do we favor? Of Chia Barashi Amar Rav Tamei Nichnas. We favor the one who is Tamei. Taishtari Bevedot Tzibur. Because we do find instances where we do wave Tuma in the Migdash. Like Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur. On the other hand, by Baal Mum, we never find any dispensations for a Baal Mum to do avoda. Lazar Omer, Baal Mum nechnas, taha ishtari bechidat kodeshim. Now we're going to favor the Baal Mum because he has the additional benefit that he's able to eat or can partake of the kodeshim, which is not true of a Kohen Tamei. And so therefore we would favor, or we'd say that the Baal Mum should go in to do the fixing rather than someone who is Tamei. Rabbi Shimon Omer, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon makes what is basically a cryptic statement. Now here the Gemara comes to explain to us what that was exactly, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon, heichikoi. On what is Rabbi Shimon making his comment that all of a sudden he comes out of the blue? Hatam koi. He's referencing a Mishnah that we saw earlier in the Masechta, the Tnan. For Mishnah, Mishach Shechut the Tchum, Afilu Amachat, someone who's outside of the Tchum at the moment that Shabbat enters, lo yikanes, he can't come in. He's stuck now, he doesn't have anything besides the Dalet Amot in which he is found. But B'Shimon Omer, Afilu Chamesh Yisrei Amah. Even if he's 15 Amot outside of the Tchum, Yikanes, he can come in, Lefi She'ein HaMeshuchot, V'Matzein Et Amidot. Because those that measure the Tchum are not exact with their Midot. Mipnei Atoim. Because they know about these people that make the mistake or have issues like that. Which is either, according to Rashi, the word Toim means those that only wake up and realize that they're beyond the Tchum after they've crossed over the Tchum. So those absent-minded people, those people who forget about the Tchum and then find themselves outside the Tchum, they won't be stuck because there's that extra space. Or the other possibility is those that are Baderech and the sun's going to set and he's going to have a Shvita outside of the city. We say that if you're within 15 Amot of the Tchum, that was if you were in the city at that time. So because of one of those two possibilities, the Chachamim made it that when they measured the Tchum, they left out the last 15 Amot as a buffer zone or as an added benefit for those that missed the sign or a little more than they thought outside of the city. So back earlier in the Gemara, we discussed why the 15 amot came about from the fact that the people that are measuring use the 50 amot strings and that their hands take up a portion of the string. If you add that up, then you get up to this additional 15 amot that it's short in terms of the measurement, but we know that that's the case and we leave it that way intentionally because of the toim. The kamar, tanakama, lo ikanes. Tanakama says you can't come in. V'amar leisha Rabbi Shimon, Yikanes. And Rabbi Shimon comes back and says, no, you can come into the Tchum area, even if you're just beyond the Tchum area. He should be able to come in, because if you read the line in the Mishnah, this is what Rabbi Shimon says, is why are you allowed to come back in even when you're beyond the Tchum? The area that the Chachamim gave you, it's really yours. Meaning that this is really part of the Tchum, and that's why you're allowed to do that. But then we have a second statement in Rabbi Shimon, which says, Shlotir lechal mishum shvut. Don't matter because it's nisu d'rabanan. Hechikai, upon what is that speaking? Where it says, Otam kai, it's talking about the Mishnah in this parak, the Kamar, Tanakama koshra. In our Mishnayot, the Tanakama says that if a string breaks on a musical instrument in the Mikdash, you can tie a knot on it to continue. V'omar lei Rabbi Shimon onva. He's allowed to loop it, he's allowed to tie it with a bow, but not with a kshira. Aniva, making a bow, which will never end up in a possible do'uraita violation of Shabbat, because it can never become a kesher shel kayama. So since it's never a kesher kayama, it'll never reach that level of do'uraita. Nevertheless, the chachamim say, don't do it, lest you come and make a knot. That's with regards to making a loop or a bow. But kshira, if you have a regular kshira, even though it's not kshira shel kayama, you have a knotting that's made. Even though it may not be a permanent knot, still, atali de chiyuv chatat has the possibility of resulting in a chiyuv chatat if you did make it into a kesher kayma. Lo shor le rabbanon. There, the rabbanon did not waive their isur. So here, in the case of the mikdash, where we say ain shvud b'mikdash, which is it that they waived? Did they waive making a kshira, a regular type of knot, or did they only waive making a bow? So Tanakam says they waived even making a knot, because that you're allowed to do in the mikdash. Rabbi Shimon says that's not the case. You can't do that in the Mikdash. The only thing you can do in Mikdash is something that's only Asur Midrabanan, Michutz the Mikdash. And what's the case that's Chutz Mikdash? That's the case when you make it into a bow and you loop it together. So in that case, since that's an Isur Midrabanan, Michutz the Mikdash, then the Mikdash, we will ignore it and we will allow you to do that. That is the way that the Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi see the question here. It's a question of the Isur D'Rabbanan that leads to a possible D'Oraita versus an Isur D'Rabbanan that can never result in an Isur D'Oraita. Rabbi Shimon says in the Mikdash, when they were Matir Shvut, they were only Matir the Shvut, that doesn't result in an Isur D'Oraita. But if it can result in Isur D'Oraita, they were never Matir that in the Mikdash. Therefore, he permits Aniva with a Garbei, the musical instrument, but he does not permit making a Kshira, even if it's not a Kshira Shel Kayama, because that might result in a Shira Shel Kayama might result in a problem de oraita. On the other hand, Tosafot actually says that Aniva outside of the Mikdash is Mutar the Gamre. And that's what Rabbi Shimon is saying. That Aniva, which is completely Mutar outside of the Mikdash, that you can do in the Mikdash. On the other hand, Shira outside of the Mikdash, which is an Isur de Rabbanan, but an Isur de Rabbanan that can result in an Isur de oraita, that we will not permit in the Mikdash. And that's why Aniva is okay, and Kshira is not okay. We once again see this idea that when it comes to Shavuot, Rabbi Shimon is indicating that doesn't mean that ain't Shavuot b'Mikdash, that there are no Isurei D'Rabbanan whatsoever in the Mikdash. There are Isurei D'Rabbanan in the Mikdash. It depends. If it's an Isur Chomor, then it might apply even in the Mikdash. If it's an Isur D'Rabbanan that's not directly related to the Karbanot, that might also apply in the Mikdash. So we have instances where there is an Isur Shavuot in the Mikdash, and we're only matir either a Shavuot Kala, lighter type of Dirabonon, or when it's Mutar Lagamrei in the Medina, and that's the machloket between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon over here, at least the way the Gemara is viewing it now, which is, do we permit a Shavuot Kala, like an Ivan in the Mikdash, or according to Tosafot, something that's totally Mutar in the Medina, or do we allow even a Shavuot more Chamura of Kshira, which might actually result in a kshira de'oraita, do we permit that in the Mikdash? Now, earlier in the Gemara, we saw that there were opinions that were matir kshira de'gamre, that allowed a complete kshira in the Mikdash, because we were talking about hechsherei mitzvah that are dochineta Shabbat. But if you don't believe the hechsherei mitzvah are dochineta Shabbat, then the machloket here revolves around what level of shvut were we matir in the Mikdash. And so, what Rabbi Shimon is saying in our Mishnah, when you put the two phrases together, is, don't assume, because I was mekel the gabei tchum, why was I mekel the gabei tchum? Because I said that you can have those extra 15 amot outside of the area of tchum, don't think you should extrapolate that to our case over here in the Mikdash with making knots in the musical instruments. The reason I was more Mekil over there had nothing to do with the fact that I was being Mekil, but rather Mishalcha Nathu Nulach. They gave you your own. It belonged to you. Those 15 Amot are really the real area of the Tchum. So don't extrapolate that over here. And therefore over here, the only thing they were Matir in the Mikdash. Shaloh Yitzir L'chol Mishum Shvot. They only allowed you to do things that were otherwise in Isur D'Rabbanan. They can't reside in a Isur D'Oraita. And that's what they were Matir in the Mikdash. So that means that they were only Matir Aniva. They were not Matir Kshira. And that explains that statement of Rabbi Shimon. And Tosafot says, why did he wait all the way to the end to have the statement of Rabbi Shimon? Because we wanted to finish off everything that dealt with the differences between Mikdash and Medina. And then at the end, we have the comment of Rabbi Shimon about this idea or this concept of Mikdash versus Medina. And with that, we complete Masechet Eruvin.